1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm going to ask you, if you would, out of love and respect, God's Word, I'm going to read. Would you stand, please, in 1 Corinthians 1, beginning in verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. I don't know if you really have ever stopped and just began to try to wrap your mind around the grace of God. Amen. It's more than just salvation. It is so much more. It's everything. It's God's power. Amen. Wrapped up in one word, grace. In verse 5, that in everything ye are enriched by Him. There it is again. In everything enriched by Him, by His grace, and all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming again, folks. Amen. He is coming back. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back, and our blamelessness, our ability, if you will, to be with Him forever is only because of the grace of God. Verse 9 is a good verse. I'm not going to preach here, but as I was saying earlier, God is faithful. Amen. God is faithful. By whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. You did not find God. He found you. You weren't looking for God. So I was looking for the truth. You were looking for the truth maybe only after God did something in your heart to draw your attention to where it needed to be. You were not born looking for God. Now, verse 10. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are at the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the house of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, are you saved this morning?
Amen.
But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I'll leave off reading there. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I do thank you, God, for your faithfulness. I thank you for your grace. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I praise you and give you honor and glory, Lord, this morning for the power of the cross. Lord, I pray today that as I try to preach what you've given me, Lord, that you would open up my lips and open up the hearts and the ears of these hearers. Father, that you would save those that are lost, that are bound for an eternity in hell, that you would encourage the saints. God, that you would meet the need in our hearts. We all have needs, Father. We're all here because we're needy people, and we're willing, Father, to admit it. We're willing to admit our need. So, Lord, please, God, hear our humble cry this morning. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, you may be seated. Fifteen years ago, a great tragedy struck our nation. Several commercial airliners were hijacked, four, as a matter of fact, and intentionally flown into different buildings, but they were flown into the World Trade Center towers there in New York City, and that's where the bulk of the damage was done. The devastation of that day, 15 years later, is still very fresh on the minds of many people across our land. I want to point out this morning why I believe, and the Lord has showed me, but and it's going to make sense here in a minute, why this day forever will stand in infamy in our country. Think about this with me this morning. It's not because of the loss of the airplanes. It's not because of the loss of those enormous towering buildings there in New York City. It's not because of the damage done to the Pentagon in Washington. But the reason that this day will forever be remembered is because, listen now, of the deaths that occurred. The loss of life that occurred on that day. Those September 11 attacks killed, to be exact, 2,996 people, and they injured more than 6,000 others. The immediate deaths included 265 on the four planes, 2,606 people in the World Trade Center and in the surrounding area that day, and 125 deaths at the Pentagon. Now, if those airplanes would have been controlled remotely from the ground with nobody in them, if those airplanes would have flown into empty buildings where there was no human occupants, it would have captured our attention briefly for maybe a few hours or days, but nothing like it still does today. The reason for that is because death, listen, gets our attention. Death gets our attention. When a loved one dies, your attention is captured. When a friend dies, your attention is captured. When someone you even just were acquainted with dies, it gets our attention. When strangers, I mean, most of these thousands of people there in New York and in Washington, to me, all of them were strangers. I did not know them personally. But I will tell you, even the death of a stranger, in this case especially, gets our attention. I mean, these are terrorist attacks, these are tragedies, but the fact of the matter is, the reason that they are so shocking and so gripping to our hearts and our minds as a as an entire nation is because of the loss of life. The final breath of a person who has now passed into eternity. Serious disease, if you think about it, when you hear that you or someone you know has a possibly incurable disease, that gets our attention. Because why? Because we know that death is approaching. Death is approaching. Death gets our attention. You know, there are many other things that happened on 9/11/2001. Like I told you, I was in training for a new job there in Omaha, Nebraska, and I had got up that morning like any other day. But nobody cares about the fact that I was in Omaha, Nebraska. Nobody was concerned about the fact that I was getting up and going to training class that morning. Nobody cares about all the other guys that were there with me. Nobody cares about the machines that we were learning how to work on, and nobody cares about all the other people like you and others that just got up that day and went about your life. But the fact is, a lot of things happened that day, but the death of those thousands of people has gripped and continues to grip and even hold our attention to this day, 15 years later. I want to bring this back around to our scripture this morning. You may be thinking how this has to tie in, but it's going to be pretty plain here for a minute. The preaching, the Bible says in verse 18, of the cross. The preaching of the cross is the title this morning of my message, because it is, according to verse 18, it is, to those of us which are saved, it is the power of God. It's the power of God. Let me give you a few thoughts this morning as we compare this verse and this topic, this idea, to 9/11/2001. Number one, let me give you something that maybe you never thought about, but it takes no power to die. It takes no power to die. Death is a natural result of life because of sin. But a person can live and breathe and exist for a certain number of years, and then they cease to exist, and that does not require any supernatural power. That does not require any power of God. That does not require any miraculous power of God. For a person to simply cease to breathe, their heart ceases to beat, their brain no longer functions, their body is gone on, they're back to the dust, and that takes no power at all. That does not require heaven to be really even involved in the process. It's just a natural process of death coming through sin to a human body. It doesn't take any power to die. What happened on 9/11 of 2001, when you saw those planes flying into those buildings on the news, or you heard it on the news, or you saw it on the television, you did not automatically think, wow, look at the supernatural, miraculous power of God. No, you didn't think that. You didn't think about how powerful God was or how miraculous His working had been, and because God does not exhibit any supernatural power in order for a man to die. It does not take the power of God. It does not take His power. It's just a natural process of life. When you read an obituary in the newspaper, you don't respond by saying, whoa, look at that, God's done a miracle today. Someone's passed away. No. No, you just kind of see it. You hear about it. You realize, well, it had to happen sooner or later. We expected it. No power involved at all. You weren't remarking how powerful God was on 2001, 9/11. It was death. It was the ceasing of the existence of thousands of people. Can I tell you, just like that, as I relate this scripture to our thoughts today, 9/11 to verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 1, I want you to think about this. Number two, putting Jesus on the cross took no power. It did not take any power of God for Jesus to die on that cross. So I'm going somewhere with this, y'all. Just be patient for now. Just follow me here. It didn't take a miracle of God to crucify His only begotten Son. Quite frankly, if I was a man who only had one son, and I decided to nail Him to a cross, it wouldn't take the power of God. Are y'all listening to me? Just stay with me here. I'm going somewhere, okay? It did not take the power of God for Jesus to be nailed to that cross. Stay with me, okay? Y'all getting quiet. It's okay, but just, I know you're thinking. It didn't take a miracle. It didn't take any power from heaven to drive those nails into His hands. It didn't take any power of God to drive those nails into His feet. It didn't take any power of God to pound those thorns into His skull. It didn't take any power of God to beat Him and rip the skin off of His bones and mutilate Him. It didn't take any power of God to spit in His face. It didn't take any power of God to mock Him and punch Him and slap Him and tear the beard off of His brow, off of his jaws. It did not take the power of God. It did not take any of God's power to put Jesus hanging on an old rugged cross between heaven and hell. When folks looked at that, they did not say, "Wow, look at the power, the almighty power of God." No. It was death. Yeah. It was death. It was darkness. It was, quite frankly, murder.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm not condoning it, but listen, if I went out here and shot somebody, that's not the power of God.
No.
It's murder. It's death. It's evil. It's darkness. However, our verse says that the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Now, I hope I'm not confusing you, but my brain works the way God made it to work. I can't help that. And as you can chuckle, that's fine. Yours works the way God made it too, and I'll chuckle at that myself. But anyway, we're all individuals, aren't you glad? No cookie cutters. Yes, exactly. I'm glad nobody else has to be exactly like me. Thank you. I don't know where I was now. Praise the Lord. All right, I was saying that God. I began to think about this and questioning God in prayer, just praying about it, really. God, what does this mean? I mean, don't you ever pray that prayer when you read something in the Bible? God, what does this really mean? I know that God makes no mistake. I know that His Word is perfect and inerrant and infallible, and it is forever settled. And I know that every word of God is pure, and I know that it's for a reason, and His way is without fail. So God, there has to be a perfect reasoning behind saying that the preaching of the death of Jesus Christ is power. How can that be? Because death doesn't take any power.
Yeah.
It didn't take any power to nail those nails into His hand. I mean, after all, did they not nail nails into a thief on his right hand and a thief on his left hand too? Did they not crucify another thief? A thief and a thief. And by the way, those three men weren't the only ones ever crucified. Romans crucified people often. It was a normal way it was the most gruesome way that they had, but it was a process of them eliminating criminals from their society, much like our electric chair or our lethal injections today or whatever we're using now, I don't know. But these three men were not the only men ever crucified on a cross. These three men were not the only men that ever literally died on a cross. But for some reason, listen, when I preach, if I were to preach the death of the thief on the right hand, it would not be the power of God. If I were to preach the death of the thief on his left hand, it would not be the power of God. But the preaching of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, is the power of God.
Amen.
Now, why, Lord? Because death takes no power. Death requires no power. Death really is a natural process. So as I prayed and as I'm trying to get across to you today, I want you to understand something. Although it takes no power to die, and although the putting of my Savior on that old rugged cross took no power, it just, the preaching of the cross, however, is power. Although it takes no power of God to die, and it took no power of God to put Jesus on the cross, listen to me this morning. The preaching of the cross is the power of God. Why, Lord? Why, Lord? Because here's what God told me, and here's what I'm going to try to get across to you. Because we look back at that cross, We look back at our Savior. We look back at His death. And it reminds us, number one, that sin brings death. Now that begins to work the power of God. Because sin brings death. When I look at Jesus on the cross, and when I preach the Bible says the preaching of the cross, and to me, the Bible says to those who are saved, it's the power of God. To the lost man, it's foolishness. Because like I said, it's just death. Gross. Death. But once I get saved, amen, amen, Christians, once I get saved, I look back at my Savior on that cross and I realize sin brings death. You see, and then not only do I realize that sin brings death, but I realize that it was my sin that put Him on that cross. You see, the power of God begins to work now in my heart because I realize that it was sin that put Him there, but not just everybody else's sin, but my sin. My wickedness. My evil. My lying. My cheating, my thoughts, my hatred, my wrath, my violence, my sin put Him on that cross. And see, that is when the power of God begins to work. Oh yes, death is natural. Death is going to happen to all of us. Somehow, some way. Except Jesus take us home through the rapture, which is, I'll take that, amen.
Amen.
But our lives, see, the looking back on Jesus hanging on that old rugged cross reminds me, and the power of God begins to work in my life, reminds me that sin is the reason that He had to die. See, sin, not just, but see, that's okay, but see, sin killed this thief too, and sin killed this thief too, but it was their sin.
Yeah.
Are you listening? But this man in the middle, it was my sin.
Yeah.
It was my sin. See, He never sinned. He knew no sin. The Bible says that He never sinned. There was no guile found in His mouth. There was never, ever anything but holy and harmless and undefiled, separate from sinners' conduct, behavior, and even every thought was pure.
Yeah.
So sin brought death to these men, but it was my sin that brought death to the Savior. And then the power of God begins to work in my heart. I began to realize I hung Him on the cross. I hung Him on the cross. I hung Him on the cross. You see, death doesn't really stir me up. Death doesn't make me think about the power of God, but when I look at my Savior and realize it was my sin, then the power of God begins to work in my heart. See, the death of my Savior reminds me that it was my sin that put Him there. It also reminds me, listen, that my life on this earth will one day be over.
Yeah.
Because I'm still a sinner. Now, you say, preacher, okay, we're talking about the power of God. No, that's right. My life on this earth will one day be over. And as a saved believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has placed my faith in that man and in His death and His burial and His resurrection and His blood, that power that reminds me now that my life is going to end one day. My life is going to have to end because I'm still a sinner. See, the power of God begins to work in me to realize, you know what, I should be serving the one who died for my sin. I should be giving Him my all. Because after all, did not He give His all for me? Did not He give His life for me? Did not He shed all of His precious blood for me? And now I know that my life is but a vapor. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. So the power of the cross, the preaching of the cross, for me, I'm saved, yes. But oh God, am I living my life for You? You see, because after all, He gave His life for me. Am I living my life for Him? And then the power of God begins to work in our hearts. Because it was sin, but not just any sin. It was my sin. And my life on this earth will soon be over. You see, my sin required a sacrificial offering. And the only one that God would accept was His only begotten Son. I'm telling you, that the power, the preaching of the cross is to those of us which are saved, the power of God.
Amen.
Because we're not the same that we used to be.
Yeah.
Our hearts are no longer lost and bound for hell. Our hearts are now forever saved and converted from death unto life. We have now, there is now for now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I'm not in a baptistry water. I'm in Christ. I'm not in a church. I'm in Christ. And it's all because He took my place on the cross.
Amen.
You see, that requires, that power begins to work in my heart. And I begin to see, oh yes, death is death. It happens to everybody. But that was my death. That was my sin. Those were my hands that drove the nails into His hand. Those were my hands that drove the nails into His feet. And that reminds me that one day He gave His life for me. And I, because why? Because I could never save myself.
Yeah.
I could never save myself. See, when a lost person hears the preaching of the cross, all they think about is death and destruction and misery and woe. But listen, but I see now that I'm saved, I realize all of my efforts were in vain. Everything that I had tried to do before was wasted and frustrated. Because the only way I could ever attain the righteousness of God was through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
His sacrificial offering of Himself on that old rugged cross, that power begins to make me realize I've got eternal life.
Amen.
I've got eternal life. I belong to the Lord.
Amen.
I am no longer my own. I've been purchased with a price.
Yes, yes, yes.
My body is no longer mine. I'm simply a vessel, temple of the Holy Ghost of God. I am now redeemed. I am ransomed. I am reconciled. I'm gloriously saved by the grace of God because He died for me on that old rugged cross.
Yes.
And boy, that power begins to change my heart. I could never save myself. If I could save myself, it would be foolishness for the Son of God to hang on an old rugged cross. It would be foolishness. And there is no such thing as foolishness when it comes to God. The preaching of the cross. See, that power draws me to Jesus. That power draws me away. Listen, don't miss this. You need to catch this. It not only draws me to Jesus, but it draws me away from the sin that hung Him there. Let me say that again. See, if I'm really saved, the sin that hung Him there is going to bother me.
Right.
That's right.
It's not going to be easy to just continue in the same sin that hung Him on the cross. See, that's why the power of the cross, the power of the preaching of the cross, it changes me because I realize not only am I saved, but now I don't want to return to the vomit where I was living before. The Bible says that a dog returns to his vomit. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen that, but there ain't nobody in here that would say, oh, look, Little Spot eating his vomit. Isn't that cute? Exactly. Look, Sea Spot run. Sea Spot skips. Sea Spot eat his vomit. Oh, isn't that cute? That's not in the book, is it?
No, it's not.
Why? Because it's gross. It's filthy. It's disgusting. Wonder how God feels when He says, see my child born again. See my child be baptized. See my child return to his vomit. Gross. What's wrong with him? I'll tell you what's wrong with him. He forgot the cross. I said he forgot the cross.
Yeah.
Because the cross reminds me that it was my sin that hung him there. Yeah. I don't want to go back to it. A dog returning to his vomit's disgusting, it's filthy, it's vile, it'll make you, quite frankly, lose your appetite. But why does not sin bother us more? Because we forget the fact that Jesus died for that sin.
Right.
Are y'all listening to me today?
Yeah.
And before I even go even close back to that vomit, and I'm not trying to be disgusting this morning, but that's what the Bible says. Before I even consider going back to my vomit, I ought to remember the cross. I ought to remember the Savior. I ought to remember His suffering, His bleeding, His dying. To free me from that. To free me forever from that. See, you know why a dog does that, Bradley? Because that's his nature. You know why a dog goes back and does that? Because that's their nature. You know why we continue in sin? Because that's our nature. But the power of God, listen to me, is to give us His own divine nature to where we can walk in that nature and we no longer return to the old man.
Amen.
The power of God, the preaching of the cross. See, when people look back at 911, many lessons have been learned from that. A whole lot of things have changed since 9/11/2001. Not enough, but a whole lot of things have been changed. Especially where? In the airports. Amen. Especially in the way we handle our homeland security.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying it's right. It's certainly still a bunch of politics, but that's another story. But a lot of things have been, a lot of plans have been incorporated, put into place. Why? To prevent that from happening again.
Yeah.
Now, why is it then that when we look back at Jesus and see the death of our Savior on the cross, why don't we begin to make some changes in our lives to prevent ourselves from going back to our filthy sin? Are you listening? See, do you understand what I'm saying now today?
Yes.
See, that draws, not only does it draw me to Jesus, but it draws me away from the sin that hung Him there. I believe if we really stop and look at the cross this morning, if you will, it also delivers our hearts and our minds from the indifference. Listen now. Indifference and lukewarm attitude that seems to prevail in our churches today. Indifference and lukewarm attitude that seems to be prevalent in our churches, in our homes, in our hearts today. We don't really think, we don't meditate, we don't consider the cross. We don't consider what He really went through. It develops a real understanding of the need, listen, for me to tell others about the cross. Go back to Isaiah 53 this morning. Isaiah 53. Isaiah in the Old Testament there, chapter 53. Verse 4. Well, let's read in verse 3. Isaiah 53:3 says, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. We just thought, well, He's just dying. See, You know, listen, look up here for a second. We're going to read more here, but when I witness to people and tell them about Jesus and tell them about the death of the Savior, they're completely indifferent to that. Do you believe Jesus died on the cross for you? Yeah, He died for our sins. It's like, you know, I'm going to go to the Walmart and buy some bread, buy some milk and buy some butter. Yeah, Jesus died for my sins. It doesn't faze them a bit.
Right.
There's no difference. It just doesn't make a difference in their life. It doesn't change a thing. And can I say to you this morning, I'm afraid that that's most of our own attitudes about the cross.
Yeah.
We become so indifferent. See, the Bible says that iniquity shall abound, and the love of many will wax cold. There's so much sin around us, and so much sin in our hearts and our minds, that our love for Christ, which by the way, the cross should generate love for our Savior.
Amen.
Love for the one who did that for me. Instead of me just yawning my way through it and going about my day like it never happened. That's the way a lost man acts. Oh yeah, He died for me. He died for everybody. He died for the sins of everybody. And then, yeah, okay, well, I'll see you later. Have a good day. It doesn't faze Him. But what about us? We're saved. Why doesn't it faze us anymore? See, Isaiah 53 says that we just esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. Yeah, He died for me. But notice verse 5. But listen, God's trying to say to us, but don't look at it that way. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet He opened not His mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shears is dumb. So He openeth not His mouth. He was taken from prison, from judgment. Who shall declare His generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living. The transgression of my people was He stricken. He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, because He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. You see, God's even saying in Isaiah 53, as He's prophesying about the cross, He's saying it's going to land on deaf ears. It's going to land on hard, cold hearts. But when you get saved, when you accept Jesus Christ, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and get born again, then that cross is going to have a whole new meaning to you. It's going to mean something. It's going to mean something. Everybody today is just entranced with 9/11/2001. And that's fine. But it didn't take any power to die. It didn't take any power for those planes to fly into the buildings. It didn't take any power. But you understand, when Jesus died, the power of God is present because it's my sin, because it's my Savior, because it's now my responsibility to live for Him. I hope this morning that you'll think about what the Lord has said. The preaching of the cross is the power of God. It reminds me that I cannot escape death. I'm going to have to confront it now or later, but I can't escape it. It was the power of God. It didn't kill Jesus. Listen, He didn't kill Jesus. It didn't take any power. But when I see Him on the cross for my sin, that power convicts me to do more. To do more for Him. To tell more people. The tragedy of 9/11 lives on. Listen, because death wakes people up. to the reality of eternity. Hear what I said? Death wakes people up to the reality of eternity.
Absolutely.
The death of the sinless, spotless Lamb of God wakes up the people of God. Dear God, I pray that it will wake up somebody this morning to the reality of our utter hopelessness without the grace of Almighty God that was forever displayed on that old rugged cross. The grace of God. Not because I deserved it, because He wanted to give me something I did not deserve. And that's powerful. That's powerful. That's powerful. 9/11, yeah, it's a powerful memory. But the cross of Christ is the power of God. Let's bow our heads this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.